fast note before we get started today. Please know this podcast may contain content that may be disturbing to some listeners. All opinions expressed are that of the individual and are not meant as a substitute for professional mental health or medical advice. We advise reading the show notes for more detailed description before you listen to this podcast. Remember, mental health matters. Please take good care of yourself. Hello and welcome. It's Tammy Lawrence, Symbolisti here. Thank you for joining us for the I'm Still Here, Messages from the Other Side podcast. Each week, we'll be talking to individuals who believe that they have had messages from the other side. So interesting to hear as we all share our time together, still here. Welcome. We are here today with Shannon. Hello, Shannon. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Tammy. It's nice to see you.
Yes, and you as well. Shannon, have you been contacted by the other side?
I do get contacted by the other side in various ways and forms. The situation seems to dictate what happens sometimes. The most frequent visitings that I get are from deceased relatives. They tend to show up at any given time, sometimes in my house, sometimes in my car, occasionally in my workplace, although not as much in the workplace. I know it's them because they'll bring with them a specific smell that I would associate with that person.
Oh, do you actually see the people, or are you just smell? All of a sudden you get an overwhelming sense of smell.
All of a sudden, it's an overwhelming smell that I would associate with the person. So I could be coming home through my door at 3 a.m. and walk into a cloud of my favorite aunt's perfume. Or I could be in my car and all of a sudden it smells like someone stuck a big batch of red roses under my nose. And I know that's my grandpa because he used to bring me red roses on my birthday. My uncle smells like Skittles, which was my favorite candy as a child that he used to bring me from his store. My aunt smells like orchids, which was her favorite flower.
And very cool that each one of them have their own individual smells, and you totally, how did you figure out that it was them?
It was just an absolute overwhelming smell that I would associate with that person. My grandparents come, my mom's parents, and they smell like menthol cigarettes, which is something they always smoke. So as a child, that was something I always picked up on.
Wow, that is amazing. So you had an actual, a very traumatic passing of two members of your family. Could you maybe give us some details about that?
So the long and the short is that I got a phone call from my mom when I was on my way home. I was living in Cambridge at the time, and I was driving home for the weekend. And I got a call on my way home from my mom, and she said, "Have you spoken to your cousin Sarah lately?" Which I thought was really strange because my cousin Sarah and I really didn't know each other that well. There had been a rift for a long time between my dad and his brother, so my uncle. So I thought that was a really strange phone call. And I said, "No, I haven't heard her talk to her. We don't really talk that much." And she said, "Oh, okay." And I said, "Why, what's up?" And she said, "Well, they've been trying to reach your aunt and uncle, and no one seems to know where they are, get a hold of them. So your aunt's trying to get a hold of Sarah." And I said, "Well, okay, Aunt Barb would have that information. So maybe talk to her." And I hung up the phone. And I thought that was really strange, but I continued on my way for 5 minutes down the road. And then all of a sudden, this was a Sunday because they were murdered on Saturday. So I'm driving along anyways, after that conversation with my mom, I turned around and pulled over to the side of the road because I started getting visual flashes all of a sudden. It was like my vision kind of went black. Unfortunately, I got the full visual of what had happened. I saw someone attacking my aunt from behind in what looked like her art studio. I saw flashes of a long silver blade. I saw blood splatter. I saw flashes of sort of blood everywhere. I saw garbage bags being dragged down some sort of wooden stairs into a small utility room. And then I had seen enough and I knew they were dead. And I knew that my cousin had killed them. And I knew that they were in a utility room in garbage bags. This happened in a couple of seconds. It was sort of something that you would have seen in a movie.
So traumatic. Oh my goodness. What were you thinking when you're getting these images in your mind?
I just was like, what is going on? I was a little confused at first. And then I was, oh my God. And then I realized that I had some control all of a sudden. I thought, I'm just going to test this because I've seen enough. So I just said, please let me stop seeing. I've seen enough. And it stopped. So at that point, I sort of took a deep breath, but I was really shaken because I knew what had happened and I knew who did it. And I knew that it really was not pleasant. So I looked, my daughter was with me and I said, where's your friend? Because her friend was dating my cousin at the time. I said, you need to track her down. She's like, oh my God, mom, what's going on? And I said, well, it's very, very bad. I said, you know, my cousin has just murdered his parents very violently. And we need to track down your friend, make sure she's safe and wasn't with him. So she tried to track them down. I actually got another idea because her friend was underage and I blocked my number and actually called the police department and said, I'm not going to give you my name if you haven't already had enough reason to detain Scott White in this matter. Then you need to know that he's dating an underage girl. He's sleeping with her. Here's her information as much as I have it. If you need something to hold him until you have enough evidence. And then I hung up. That was it. I didn't want to be identified for obvious reasons. I didn't want to open myself up to that kind of ridicule or were you involved? How would you know that? None of that stuff. I sort of stepped in a small way and gave them something. They already had enough, I guess, by that point, but nothing had been said or released, or that was sort of the least I could do until they could step in and do what they needed to do in case there was any doubt. From what I understand, though, over the next several weeks, small details of everything that I had seen and described came out in the news slowly. So things like that my aunt was attacked from behind with a sharp blade. I initially thought that was maybe an art scalpel that he attacked her with. Later, we believe it was the scissors because all the scissors in the house were missing when they went back through the house after the fact to see what was there, what was missing. They went in with the police, with my cousin and my aunt to go and check out what was missing and what they needed to try and get back. That happened. I was really upset that night. I went to bed. I felt somebody come into my room that night. It smelled like orchids. So I thought, oh, okay, my aunt's here and she's not upset. So that's good. She's actually very peaceful considering what's happened to her. And this was all before any of the family really knew anything in terms of the police hadn't said anything to anybody yet. But then I was worried and thought, well, I smell my aunt, but where's my uncle? Is he okay? So I actually asked that question, like, is Uncle Doc okay? So that's my next concern is, first of all, how are you guys okay? And are you both okay? So after asking that question, the following night, she came and she sat on my bed again, and I smelled orchids really strong. So I knew she was there, and she was very calm, like very peaceful, which is really interesting considering how she died. And a few minutes later, I started smelling Skittles and I just started to laugh. I couldn't even help it because I thought of all the smells to remember from my childhood, it would be the Skittles, which is my favorite candy that he used to bring me. So that was pretty comforting to know that despite the horrible circumstances of their death, somehow they were both okay and very much at peace. At least I could provide that to the family along with the details of what happened if I needed to and where to find them to bring closure if I needed to do that. So that was sort of, at least I got something that was useful if I needed it. That was very surprising that they were both very peaceful very quickly after such traumatic passings.
What happened to your cousin? Because we have to get that answer before we go any deeper into the other side.
Oh, he went to jail. He had stayed with the bodies in the house after he dismembered them for 24 hours. Someone came, finally threatened to break down the door if the police didn't go out because they weren't going to go out for at least 48 hours. But they did finally respond and go out, and they walked the perimeter from the house, from what I understand, and they saw that he had shot my uncle against the back patio door, which is how they got entry to the house. He went to jail. He made it through the pretrial hearing. He was sent for psych evaluation at Penetang to see if he was fit to stand trial. They determined he was fit to stand trial, so they did that. And somewhere in the process, I'm going to say karma got a hold of him in jail. He ended up having a brain bleed. The official story we got was that he had a seizure in his cell, fell and hit his head against a metal stool that was in his cell. However, my aunt, who was a trauma nurse for 25 years in BC, came back to deal with the situation at St. Mike's in Toronto. He actually had multiple brain bleeds. So they went in and would stop one and another one would start up immediately. And she said, there's no way from a single strike to the back of the head with the stool that that kind of trauma would result. So we think someone named Karma came along and took him out.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. That story is just traumatic from beginning to end. Did your cousin end up, did you get any sense that your cousin came to see you after he had passed away? Or you're like, no, I don't need to talk to you.
No, I have another friend who is quite gifted, and she is also sort of part of the family, and she identifies as a high priestess and is quite gifted. She did some binding so he could not travel or come back. Yeah. Which is for the best, because nobody wants to visit that.
No, most certainly. You also had a few other people pass away in your life. You lost your grandfather and also your sister passed away. Did they have connection with you after they passed?
No, that's interesting. A few months before my sister passed, I saw the word Sunday one day. Just out of the blue, it was like your vision went black for a second and somebody just wrote the word Sunday. And I was trying to figure out for the longest time what the significance of Sunday was. Well, it came to my sister was going to pass on a Monday. I went to work and all of a sudden I got this panicked urge that I needed to call home at lunch to my parents. And I called my parents and my mom. I said, my mom answered the phone. She said, hi. And I said, what's going on? And she said, what do you mean you never call at lunch? And I said, nope, something's going on. And she said, oh, we were going to call you later. Your sister's been given 24 hours to live. And I said, well, that's not accurate, but I'm coming home immediately. So I packed my things and went up to be with her. I spent the week with her. Towards the end of the week, I actually saw her jump in and out of her body, which was kind of disturbing because I was like, you are so restless right now. Just go. Just be at peace and go. Like, I'm ready for this to be over for you right now. And this is awful watching you jump in and jump out and jump in and jump out.
And what does it look like when someone jumps out of their body?
It's very strange. It's just very strange. It's like this, it's almost an outline of a person, a shadow almost. And they come out and they have separate and then they go back in. And if you've ever seen it, it's frustrating because you know that the time is there and she can't quite do it yet, but she's going. I spent the week with my sister and everybody was like, oh, she's not gone yet. It's been more than 24 hours. And I'm like, nope. Because in my head, I knew that she was not going to die till Sunday. Saturday night, I invited one of my friends to come with me to the hospital room. I put on some quiet music. After everybody left, I stayed late with my friend. I said, you know, today, if going to be the day that you need to say your goodbyes. If you want to do that, you need to come to the hospital tonight. I had set that up in advance. So we just sat and my sister was not responsive at that point. She was just kind of really peaceful and quiet. So we put on some guitar music, which she really liked because my dad used to play guitar. And we sat and we told funny stories to each other, had some tea. And then it was weird because it was like something showed up on my right shoulder and it wasn't big or scary. It was actually very calm and it was like just there. And I was thinking, what is this? And then I realized that it was actually the person that comes to take you to the other side. But there was no judgment. There was not scary. It was not like a visit from the Grim Reaper. It was just like maybe not really an old friend, but somebody pretty calm and quiet who just took you where you needed to go, like a guide or something. So when that showed up and stayed, I looked at my friend and I said, okay, we need to say our goodbyes and we need to go. She has some last minute things she needs to finish so that she can head out on her way. Said our goodbyes and we left. I went home and I made it to bed that night. We got a call at 1 o'clock Sunday morning, woke everybody up. My aunt, who was a trauma nurse, was staying with us in my sister's room, actually, and I was in my old bedroom. My parents were across the hall. We got the call, and everybody came out, and people cried, and I felt this tremendous sense of relief for her at that point, because I think I'd watched her jump in and out for 2 or 3 days, and I just was ready for her to just be at peace at that point and for it to be done. So everybody else was really sad, which is totally understandable. And I was just like, breathed a huge sigh of relief. I went back to bed. I slept like a log, or so I thought. I got up the next morning, having never felt like I slept better, actually. My aunt, who's a trauma nurse, who doesn't really talk about these things at all, said, "You kept me up all night." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Was I snoring?" And she said, "No." She said, "I went to sleep after, like, went to bed after you went to sleep." I said, "Yes." And she said, "I started hearing voices, little girls' voices coming from my closet." And I said, "What? Like, that's really strange. You've never said anything like that before. What's going on?" And she said, "No, I listened carefully." And she said, it was like you and your sister were little and you were in my closet and you talked for hours. She said you had a complete conversation for hours, and then she told you that she had to go check on your mom, so she got closet door open, which walked out of my bedroom down the hall into your mother's doorway, looked at your mom for a few minutes, and then disappeared.
Wow. So this is a family trait of you being able to connect with the other side.
It is, from what I understand. My mother's grandmother was extremely psychic and a good tea leaf reader, extremely powerful in her own right.
That's really cool. Do you have any advice for someone else if they wanted to connect with the other side? What would you tell them? The secret. What's the secret?
Yeah, I'd like to know the secret because I, you know, have that awake connection, but don't really know how to directly question and answer yet. I haven't figured that out. I also obviously somehow know how to visit other sort of realms or planes in the sleep state. I'll have people who are about to pass come contact me and actually sit and talk to me there, which is a little bit nicer because it's more direct and it's more, I get more information that way when they do that. So I kind of enjoy that part more. It's settling. I had my mom's best friend 2 days before she died, came to me. I guess I was in another realm, in a sleep state. I was sitting on a bench and I approached the bench and her best friend was there. And she said, "Hey, Jan, I haven't seen you in a long time." And I said, "Yeah, Sue, it's been a long time." And then I kind of panicked and I was like, "Wait, you're not supposed to be here." And she said, "What?" And I said, no, you don't belong here. You're not supposed to be here." And I kind of backpedaled and panicked a little. And she said, "No." She said, "I came because I'm letting go. And you need to know that I'm letting go because I can't have fun anymore. And I can't visit my friends and I can't be with my family. And, you know, I'm not enjoying life and it's not going to get better." She said, "And I know it's not going to get better." She said, "So I'm letting go." And I didn't have an argument for that. There is no argument for that.
Right. So
she was absolutely right. She had no quality of life. She was not enjoying herself. She couldn't be with her friends and family anymore. She was absolutely right. Your best shot at contacting the other side is probably just clear yourself out, balance your chakras, meditate might help if you're gifted. Make sure that you take care of yourself, grounding yourself, protecting yourself in realms of white light, asking for help and guidance, however you believe that can come, whether you believe in your guides, whether you believe in angels, whatever that looks like for you. I also tend to cleanse my space a lot because I absorb energies. So I'm very particular about certain healing rocks, protective stones, Epsom salts, baths, smudge. I use smudge, incense smudge a lot, candles, white light, all sorts of those things before anything else happens. But you yourself have to be really protected and grounded and open to receiving your messages. And for people who aren't maybe as gifted or as open, I understand that the sleep state is sort of the easiest way for your loved ones to contact you. So, but again, your stress level has to be down and you have to be somewhat open to receiving those messages, good and bad, whatever it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're one to definitely be able to say good and bad, being the story you shared about your aunt and uncle. That was horrific. Another question. If one thing that helped you get through your journey of grieving, whether it be the loss of your grandfather or your sister or your aunt and uncle, what would, again, be something of for advice for listeners of what to help them get through their experiences?
Self-care. Self-care is enormously important, especially when you're grieving. You might not feel like eating. You might not be sleeping well. Things like essential oils. Push yourself even just to try and get dressed and shower in the morning. Try to push yourself out the door for a short walk, even if that's all you can do. Spending time in nature, your favorite places. Sometimes for certain people, it's not going to work for everybody. It's not prescriptive by any means, but doing something to honor that person's life that might have been special for them or for you. So trying to figure out like a unique ritual way to honor them.
I like that.
For instance, I took my aunt's favorite stone was moonstone and my uncle's birthstone was lapis lazuli. I had talked with my aunt previously and tried to convince her to come on a whitewater rafting trip with me that summer. She was hemming and hawing about it, kind of, but she thought it would be fun, whatever, to honor them, was to take a piece of moonstone and a piece of lapis lazuli with me on that whitewater rafting ride. And at lunch, there was a small stream beside on the Ottawa River, and I just kind of went over and released them at the end of the trip. And I cast the stones out into the river.
Nice. Nice. Beautiful. That must have felt really good.
Yeah. It actually did.
Like smiling at you then?
It felt like they accompanied me. Like I took them with me somehow to do that with them. And then was ready to let go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today, Shannon. I really appreciate it. Someone wanted to find you online. Do you have an Instagram account or something that they could find you?
You could contact me at my business account if you like, but please private message if you're going to, if you have questions or need some ideas for coping. It's Strength, Motivation, and Wellness is the Instagram account. It's something I've set up for my new business, which is going to be personal training in the future. Right now it's nutrition counseling because I'm a registered holistic nutritionist.
That's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations on that new business when you get it up and going and add all of the wonderful things that I know that you do and are able to offer the world. It's fantastic.
Thanks, Tammy.
Thank you for spending time with us.
We are so grateful for our guests for sharing their time with us and sharing their experiences. It's wonderful to know that we're not alone, and it's so great to hear that even though our loved ones have passed, that they are still here with connections, albeit different from before. Be sure to subscribe and to share this podcast. If you have an experience that you'd like to share, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Please email me. We're also grateful to Kevin McLeod and to Computech for sharing this wonderful background music entitled Happy Dreams. Thank you for sharing your time with us. May you enjoy your time still being here.